For communion, we're going to be in 2 Peter 1:9. In your Bibles there. What glory truths we just proclaimed and remembered. The most important truths we could remember. But we're forgetful people. The pressing distractions of the urgent and the right now demand attention. And often, our nearsightedness is so bad that it makes us blind to the most important things. The effects of such nearsighted blindness and forgetfulness can be devastating. Sometimes we're too busy to back up our computer. We can be so nearsighted so as to be blind that a computer crash, hard drive failure will be inevitable. Or maybe sometimes you forget that you're driving. Your gaze is so focused on texting or the radio that in essence you're blind to the danger fastly approaching on the road. That person is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he is driving. That person is so nearsighted that he is blind, oblivious to the danger that's ahead. But there's one kind of nearsighted and blind forgetfulness whose effects are far more devastating than that or anything else that you could think of that deals with the merely physical. It is this that we're warned about in 2 Peter 1, verse 9. And it is this forgetful nearsightedness that we are guarded against every week when we take the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Him. Let's read 2 Peter 1, 9 together. For whoever lacks these qualities, namely virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection and love, whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from former sins. The Christian described here is nearsighted in regards to the gospel. He has forgotten an objective reality that happened to him at salvation. Namely, he's forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. He has forgotten what God powerfully accomplished through Jesus Christ at the cross. And this is the worst kind of nearsighted blindness possible. What's the solution? Be diligent to look up and away from the blind nearsightedness of your old sin and look back to the cross where you were made free, where you were made clean and set free. Be diligent to look away from the blind nearsightedness of your old sin and look back to the cross where you were made clean and set free. That's what we do each week at communion. Our sinful desires in this world, verse 4, constantly demand our attention, threatening to turn our focus away from the cross. Are you one who forgot that you've been cleansed from the sins that used to control you? Peter gives us a test to find out. The list of verses 5 through 7 is that test. Evaluate your life this week in light of these qualities. Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection and love. To the degree that you have not been characterized as a virtuous, faithful, self-controlled one, increasing in knowledge of God, enduring in godliness and filled with brotherly affection and love, to that degree, your gaze has drifted from the cross. In a few moments, there's going to be a piece of bread and a glass of juice reminding us of Jesus' body and blood that He gave to secure holiness for you. How gracious God is to give us these regular reminders to refocus our forgetful gaze back to the cross, where God himself bore our sins as he died in our place. We were owned by sin, slaves of sin, and Jesus set us free from its penalty and its power. So evaluate your life, Christian, and where there's sin, repent by first and most preaching to your own heart the gospel that sets you free from that sin. And stop sinning and start increasing in the qualities that God saved you to by his divine power through his great promises in the gospel. Be diligent to look up and away from the blind nearsightedness of your old sin and look back to the cross where you were made clean and set free. And when temptation comes, resolve in the midst of that temptation. Temptation will come, and it will probably come soon. In the midst of that temptation, resolve to look up and back to the cross where you were made clean and set free. Now, verse 7, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a time not only to repent, but to recall that everything good in us is because of God who granted it to us in the gospel at the cross, where he set us free from sin and called us to himself in holiness. If you have had a degree of holiness in your life this week, which I know every believer has, this is a chance to proclaim that holiness came from God and is for God. Proclaim the Lord's death with us as we remember Jesus in communion, and in so doing grow in these God-enabled, godly qualities to guarantee effectiveness and fruitfulness. But if you're not a Christian, you've not been set free from sin, this time of remembrance is not for you. So please let the bread and juice pass by. Or even better, I beg that you would turn and believe. Put your faith in Jesus and to free you from your sin and bring you to God. And then enjoy eternal life in the Lord's Supper with us. And if you are a professing Christian, and when you look at your life and recognize that there are sins that you have not repented of, that you have not given up and turned from, repent. Look up and away from the blind and nearsightedness of your old sin and look back to the cross where you were made clean and set free. But if you will not repent, you have no assurance of your salvation. Christians are marked by repentance. So if you will not repent, just like the unbeliever, let the elements pass. But for all of us, this is a time to lift our gaze away from sin and this world and remember and proclaim Jesus and his death. Men, will you come forward to service? Please take communion on your own.